Arena Audiobooks presents For the May Queen by Kate Evans. Read by Emma Birnbeck. Chapter 1. Quarters. Sitting cross-legged on the orange industrial carpet, I pulled my blouse over my head. I was 17, 18 in 2 months, and it was my first night in the dorms. I'd been invited to play quarters, a drinking game. And quarters had evolved into strip quarters. It had only been a few hours since my parents had dropped me off, had helped me bring boxes into the room, and tearily hugged me goodbye. And there I sat on the floor of a dorm room with three people I'd just met, drunk and wearing only my bra and underwear. This was the culture of dorm life, a life we created together. Yet somehow, it felt like we didn't create it, that it existed before we arrived. We knew that playing a drinking game our first night was the thing to do. It would initiate us into this new life. It would mark our belonging. The university would be a place we lived and partied and occasionally went to class. It was September 1981. The 70s were categorically over with the election of Ronald Reagan and the assassination of John Lennon. A movie star as president made perfect sense to us, even those of us who hated him. Most of us who bothered to think about politics considered Carter weak and ineffectual. The Iranian hostages had been released when Reagan was inaugurated, the waning days of our last year in high school. We were powering forward into college with a new decade before us. The semester hadn't yet begun, so we had a few days of freedom. A few days to rattle around in the half-empty dorm, parentless for the first time in our lives. The industrial quality of the dorms had surprised me. I'd lived my whole life in a comfortable suburban house with wall-to-wall carpeting, redwood decks, and a swimming pool. Here were beige walls, painted so inadequately that bare spots alternated with hardened paint globs. From what I'd seen so far, each boxy, pragmatic room was exactly the same as the next, holding two single beds with Denny's orange bolsters, two identical desks, and two closets. The air smelled like hotel deodorizer, a smell that simultaneously attracted and repelled me with its resonance of dirt and exotic travel. My roommate's side of the room was bare. She had yet to move in. As I hung up my clothes on wire hangers, I wondered what she would be like, where'd she be from, what she'd look like. I hoped for someone I could immediately befriend, a girl who at night, as we lay in the room like devoted sisters, would swap deep secrets with me. She'd sweep into the room, all energy and openness, immediately recognizing our soul connection that would last our whole lives. We'd never forget these times, our college years. I knew this idiotic Anne of Green Gables fantasy was immature, yet I relished its whimsy, only to be interrupted by a guy with blonde hair and an AC/DC t-shirt appearing in my doorway, inviting me next door. I went, and now there were four of us. The guy who initiated the game, Dan Wasserman, known as Goat, who was short and skinny with a spray of a mustache. His roommate, Billy Doan, who was so tall and lanky, he reminded me of the tallest man in the Guinness Book of World Records, with an Ichabod Crane's Adam's apple. And Liz Chan, who lived on the second floor and had Dorothy Hamill hair and an eye twitch. I'd played quarters in high school, so I was familiar with the rules. There's a cup filled with beer, wine, whiskey, vodka, whatever's around. You place the cup on a table. But if you're sitting on the floor, an album cover or textbook works. You take a quarter and bounce it on the hard surface, hoping it will spring into the glass. If it doesn't, you must drink. If the quarter falls into the glass, you can choose anyone in the group to drink. You must point to that person with your elbow. If, in drunken forgetfulness, you point with your finger instead of your elbow, you must drink instead. Strip quarters, I soon learned, follows all of these rules.